you have been with us during our recent broadcast, you will remember we have been considering the subject of worship. Worship is the offering of praise to God for who He is, the greatness of His person, and for what He has done, the greatness of His work. Worship is the overflow of a heart that is musing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as kneeling is a posture of body in prayer, worship is the posture of the soul in adoration. It is giving to God, not receiving, yet it always results in blessing to the worshiper. We have traced worship throughout the Scriptures. It begins in the early pages of Genesis, and we can follow it. Men who knew and loved Him, worshiping the God of eternity, right through the closing pages of the book of the Revelation. We have seen the authority of worship, for the God of heaven and earth is seeking worshipers, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We gave some thought to the preparation for worship, how that essentially a man, a woman, an individual must be born again. You cannot worship the true and the living God apart from the new birth. There's no room for worshipers who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw, too, that in order to be a true worshiper, we must keep short accounts with God. That is, we must keep our sins confessed. We must avoid sin like a plague, and when guilty, we must confess and acknowledge it. Two, we must keep short account with others. We must go and confess our sin to them, make all things right with our brethren in Christ before we would come and seek to spend time worshiping the God of heaven and earth. For He allows no room for hypocrisy when we worship. For those who worship Him, He tells us, must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We read also from Hebrews 13 and 15, where it says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." Oh, friend of mine, let me ask you, has there been that experience in your life as a true child of God when you bowed and worshiped Him, the King of all kings, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord God Almighty? David said he would not offer his God that which cost him nothing. He would not offer in praise and worship to the God of heaven that which did not cost Him anything. What have you offered the God who redeemed you by His blood? Have you offered Him anything? There is a worship that cost, and I would like to suggest some in the Scripture who offered our God that which cost them something. From Matthew chapter 2, we read about some wise men who traveled from the east a great distance, and they came and laid at the feet of the Lord Jesus the Christ child, costly gifts, gold, which spoke of His deity, frankincense, which spoke of the fragrant sinlessness of His life, and the myrrh, which spoke of the bitterness of His sufferings to come. Those gifts were expensive. That trip was hard, and these wise men came and offered their worship, that which cost them something. And today, nearly 2,000 years ago, wise men are still offering worship to the eternal Christ, that which cost them something. There was a woman we read about in Matthew chapter 26. She's called the woman with the alabaster box of ointment. And she poured this costly ointment upon the Lord Jesus Christ, anointing Him because she loved Him. She worshipped Him. She knew Him to be the God of heaven and earth. You know what this represented in their day? A full year's wages. Oh, some people gripe at just having to give a little bit. This woman gave a year's wages in worship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, in closing, may I ask, what have you given? He deserves your love, your worship, your all. If you know Him, worship Him. If you don't know Him, receive Him as Savior today. He'll bless you for it, for eternity. Amen.